Blog Talk Radio.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? I would like to speak to Bone Quisha.
Otis?
Yes, this is Otis.
She don't want to talk to you.
Well, tell her she is going to hear me one way or the other. Either she steps outside or either she's going to hear me through the door. You know, Bone Quisha, ever since you and I stopped seeing each other, I ain't been doing nothing but thinking. I ain't been able to sleep. I ain't been able to do nothing that required you being in it. Baby, I know that we've had rough times before, but we got through it. Like the time all the power went off in the house, and we had to finish cooking the collard greens on the Happy Eater, but we did it together. All the time that the defroster didn't work on the microwave, and the turkey was still frozen. Remember, we had to get chicken down from Larry's Long Neck Leadwater Late Night Chicken House. Remember? But now I don't have you, and that's why I'm having these Christmas blues. Yes, Christmas blues. Sometimes I wonder, was it worth it? Waking up early in the morning to go to the little gym to get you 3 pickle eggs, some Lay's plain potato chips, and a Coca-Cola. I said, self, was it worth it? And myself answered back, yes, it was real worth it. I miss you, and I love you so much. I'll do anything to make you mine again. I'm also lonely, so, so sad and blue. I'm spending Christmas Day without you. I am very, very sad and lonely. But anyway, let me tell you something. I do have you and the kids a present this year. I had y'all a present last year, but, you know, my alternator broke in my truck. And, you know, I need my truck for to go to work. And so I had to take the receipt, take all the presents back, and fix my alternator. But I do got you a present this year. I didn't have time to wrap it up. I got in some brown pick-and-save bags. Also, I got some wine. I got some cold duck, baby. You need to open the door. He quacking. I remember one Christmas, maybe 3 Christmases ago, we ran out of ham, and you said you wanted another ham. But you really didn't say you wanted another ham. I just figured that's what you wanted. So they had a 12 dozen crab special, so I got you a dozen of big blue crabs. I mean, I'm just saying, I just hope this Christmas is a little different. You know, I just want a little turkey, a little of that sweet, sweet plum dressing. You know, I just want the kids to be happy. And, you know, Bonquista, I know when we got married, I vowed to give you diamonds and pearls. But when I hurt my back at work, my workman's comp could only get zirconia and Gannon necklaces. I also said that when we moved out of your mama's house, we were going to move into a place double her size. That's why I got 2 trailers and put them together. Yes, babe, a double wide. All those things I done for you and the kids, but I still have these Christmas blues because I'm spending Christmas out the kids and you. I love you, Bonquisha. I love you. But you know what? One thing I want to tell you this year about Christmas. Last year, when you served up all the turkey and you know, all of the trimmings and everything, when the cranberry dressing got round to me, there was none left. So please, I hope you have 2 cans of cranberry dressing in there because I love that cranberry sauce. Please, thank you, and please open the door, baby. It's cold.
Welcome to the Bachelor Pad. We thank you for joining us. As always, happy holidays to you and your family. And here's hoping wherever you are and you're listening, you're enjoying this and will enjoy this as we try to enlighten, empower, and educate from the world of sports and beyond. So we thank you for joining us. I want to go right to the phones. He is from ESPN True Hoops Network, covering NBA and beyond, which we'll get into. Always good to have him on as Ronald Agers. And Ronald, happy holidays to you and your fam as always, sir.
You too, man. Thanks for having me on, especially with this short notice.
Yes, sir. And obviously we want to get to the news in Charlotte. You're in Charlotte, TV producer there, living there, you know, covering the Hornets, but also covering the Panthers when you can. Look, this owner of the Panthers is going to step down. I'm not surprised. Here's the problem I have with Ron and what I have with guys like Richardson and others. They stand on their pedestal, this holier than thou, and tell the players not to kneel, yet he's doing these inappropriate things, let's say, within the workplace. This is not the first allegations or controversy, if you will, with Jerry Richardson. But this is also the same guy who got rid of D'Angelo Williams for crap. And so I'm not surprised, and I almost feel justice is served when it comes like an owner like Jerry Richardson. And not just Jerry Richardson, but look, the players and the coaches and the front office, they get fined, they get suspended, they get all that stuff. How do you do that with the owners? I think this is a good thing for the Panthers.
Yeah, you know something, I know I'm really opinionated, but right now, me, right along with a lot of people in Charlotte, we're in shock. And this is really the changing of an era. And I'm not talking about just football, I'm not talking about Hollywood, I'm not talking about the Congress, D.C., none of that, elected, whatever. Elected officials, whatever. This is probably, I mean, we've heard this for years, the year of the woman, and everybody would roll their eyes. 2017 has been the year of the woman. 2018 will be the year of the woman, and it will probably be for the foreseeable future. With the Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement, everybody is going to have to change the way they act at the workplace. And I mean now, even as high as the owners of businesses, multi-billion-dollar business. Harvey Weinstein has taught this. Right now, it just showed up with – now it's just got to the NFL. And I'm going to tell you something else, L.A.
Real quick, why are folks in Charlotte surprised? Why are you shocked by Richardson? Why are you shocked?
Because he was a power player. Forget the fact that he was an owner of the Panthers. He was a power player in the National Football League. He co-chaired the committee that got Roger Goodell in. He was the guy that actually sat in there. You know, when you got Roger Goodell at the head of the table, you got Jerry Richardson on his right when it comes down to labor disputes. Goodell getting back in, getting re-signed as NFL commissioner. This guy was a very big power player, and it's not the fact that he's gone and he got and the team was sold. It's how quickly it happened. Think about this, LA. It's like you wake up on Thursday and say, you know something, life is good. I own the Panthers. We're playing the Green Bay Packers. We got a chance to win the division. We got a chance for a Super Bowl run. And by Sunday night, you ain't got no team no more. It was so quick. It was like from Friday to Sunday. The fall was so immediate and so quick that this is just the tip of the iceberg. And when I say the tip of the iceberg, I mean the extreme tip of the iceberg.
Meaning that it's more stuff coming out?
Oh, no, no. You have no clue of how bad it could be. So, in other words, the NFL, the Panthers, all the heavy hitters are trying to get ahead of this before what really comes down the pipe. That's what everybody's afraid of. I mean, we know. I mean, the Sports Illustrated article about it. Him in the jeans on Gene Friday or the comments or the notes with the money and for massages and stuff like that, and the quotes ain't no man gonna treat you the way I do. It's considered being a creepy old man whose era has changed. He ain't caught up with the times. What they're doing now, and they're selling with him selling the team. He's 81 years old. That heart he has right now is pumping. It's not even his. He had a heart transplant back in 2009. He's going to be good. He's going to get rich. But what they're trying to do now is get ahead of what really could come down the line. Because if you got it, because the problem right now is there are records of settlements, and they have at least four reported now, at least four. So there's no telling. It could be 40. It could be 400. Because he's owned the team since 95. And you got to understand the power of this. He's not an owner in a sense of he just bought the team. You know what I'm saying? He founded the Carolina Panthers. So around here in Charlotte, he's an icon. He's a guy that actually started poor and built his way up to being a billionaire. So now he's an icon in a sense around here. I knew something was wrong when the internal investigation was headed up by Erskine Bowles. I didn't even know he was the part owner. That's just
think of it this way. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but think about it. He's heading up the internal investigation. This is how strengths, because the dynamics don't fit. Think of it this way. Everybody's pretty much seen New Jack City. It's just like Nino Brown's up for being investigated for drugs, right? But you got G Money and the rest of the CMB heading up the investigation into Nino Brown. It doesn't make sense. So I knew when I saw Erskine Bowles, and this guy was the chief of staff.
But do you know what?
Oh, Bill Clinton.
If listen though, Ronald, if Jerry Richardson is Nino Brown, that means he's gonna take some people down with him.
Exactly.
If he's Nino Brown,
see, you have to. Yeah, and the thing is, and I think, and I've said this on the show time and time again, it always starts at the top. So if Jerry Richardson's at the top, and you got all these part owners, and I think it's 14 of them, you don't think they knew what was going on, and there was hush money involved. So there's a financial ledger of these things. So they had to have known that this was going on. What I thought at the beginning was that he's getting older, his health is declining. They were pretty much waiting on this guy to die out. They thought he would die soon. His heart's starting to go. His health is not good. Okay, we don't like the way the team is run. And what's so scary about this, we talked about this almost a month ago about the sale of the Panthers.
Right.
I didn't think it would be under these circumstances, but you knew that the team in the front office was a mess anyway, with Gettleman being fired 37 seconds before training camp. You bring in Marty Herney, the guy that you fired in the first place to bring Gettleman in, Ron Rivera. You just knew there was the structure of business was just not there. And that's what I assumed that he was going to get. The team was going to be sold. I didn't think it would be 3 weeks later under these circumstances. But I thought it was probably a power play of the part owners not being happy with Jerry Richardson. But with this going on, I think, like I said before, I'm at a loss for words because of the shock of this. Jerry Richardson basically, I think, is getting to the point now that in all business, and it's been said on WBTV where I work, we were talking about it last night, the way things worked out 20 years ago, the things that he was doing, the handwritten notes and everything, that was just like they considered it Southern drawl and Jerry being Jerry. Now that it's 20 minutes ago, you can't do that. I mean, it's so deep now that everybody that's listening to this podcast, listening to this radio station, listening to this show, has to understand. You better take a look at what you're doing. Talking to women at the workplace, you better give them the respect, because if you say the wrong thing, it could cost you your job. It's that serious now, because this guy is a billionaire. This guy was there was three power players as owners just as powerful as commissioner: Robert Kraft of the Patriots, Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, and Jerry Richardson. And think of it this way, they got rid of Jerry Richardson in less than about 48 to 72 hours. You got pictures of Jerry Jones with women, and he's still good with his team. So when we talked about, and I understand, I rubbed a lot of people wrong way about this Colin Kaepernick thing, about him losing it, him not getting a job in the NFL, and it's being racial. I said racial the race was a factor, but it was not the major factor. Think of it this way. They kept Colin Kaepernick out the league for a job. The NFL, being a conglomerate system, took a man's team away in 72 hours. And he's going to be gone. At the end of the year, when the Panthers lose in the playoffs or they win the Super Bowl, whatever, their last game of the season, Jerry Richardson has to sell that team in 72 hours. It's the power of the National Football League. It's just
But what do you think, if Jerry Richardson is the tip of the iceberg, we're talking with Ronald Agers, of course, about the Panthers situation and Jerry Richardson having to sell the team. If he's the tip of the iceberg, are we assuming, we don't know now, but are you assuming that you may have other owners that are going to be, again, I bring up that you brought up New Jack City, the Nino Brown. If I'm going down, I'm taking some people with me, and some stuff comes out, the research, the investigations, that maybe I'm just throwing this out here, Dallas Cowboy fans, don't get on me. I'm just saying, let's say it was Jerry Jones in there too. Are we going to see, you're assuming that more owners will be caught up in this inappropriate conduct at the workplace type stuff? And do you see any of Erskine Bowles, who people don't know who Erskine Bowles is, you do and I do, he served under Bill Clinton, that he brings back some of those people who were fired or made these allegations?
To you Dallas Cowboy fans out there, you ain't got to get mad at L.A., but you can always get mad at me. Let me tell you something. I'm saying if they have done some things, because now people are now entitled and they feel confident that they can come out and speak out on these things. This is almost, you probably have no idea how many people, and this is in all jobs, that have been disrespected, things have been done wrong to them, and the job just did some things, messed with the schedules or whatever the case may be, and ran them off. Because there's plenty of things, or gave them hush money. Give them a couple dollars, let's let bygones be bygones, and then with that non-disclosure agreement, which is very important, the non-disclosure agreement, which means you can't say anything about the case because you took the money, a.k.a. we call it hush money. But now, looking back, now you see Jerry Richardson, because right now Harvey Weinstein to Hollywood is Jerry Richardson to the National Football League is never really leaked over. Sexual misconduct has not really leaked over to the National Football League yet in the ownership group. With this going on, they're now setting a precedent, and now people are saying, maybe now I can speak out. What do I have to lose? I don't have to accept this. And then they say, and they start that hashtag MeToo movement that goes on into the National Football League. This is no joke. Now, to answer your second question about Erskine Bowles hiring these people back, I don't know. That's up for the Panthers organization. I don't know if those people that have moved on and gotten other jobs, that's a personal choice to them. But right now, this is something, this era of groping, saying inappropriate inappropriate things, inappropriate touching, giving foot massages, these back rubs that was cool back in the 90s, early 2000s, and way back then, those days are, as of right now, in my mind, dead. You better kill it. Let it go, because you could lose your job, you could lose your business, and you can lose a lot of money. Now, look, Jerry Richardson is going to die wealthy. But understand, he's going to lose some money losing the Carolina Panthers. Think of it this way. In 1993, Jerry Richardson bought the rights for $140 million. Throw in the stadium that he bought. That's right, the Panthers owned the stadium too. Add another $60 million back in 1993. Right now, in 2017, the Panthers are now worth $2.3 billion, and it went and that increased 11% over last year. he's going to lose a couple of dollars. And understand, he does not want to sell that team. But now that the National Football League has taken over the investigation, you know things are bad, and it could get worse. And right, and you know how the media works, L.A., you know this. When he leaves, there's going to be those documentary stories from a lot of people that's going to float out with other people coming forward about the act, how Jerry Richardson conducted himself in the workplace.
I'm talking with Ronald Agers, of course, in Charlotte for ESPN True Hoops Network, of course, TV producer there. The news out of Charlotte, not good for Jerry Richardson and the Richardson family, certainly, with the allegations there. Has to sell the team. Again, as I turn this over to Reggie Howell, I'm not surprised. When I heard it, like I said, he had some misconduct some years ago, some allegations that were made. Nothing came of it. And then when this came out, I knew the NFL, when they said they're going to take over the investigation, it was swift. The Panthers tried to do it, investigate. Erskine Bulls tried to handle it itself. NFL said, nope, we're going to handle this. We're going to run it. And once that happened, I knew that he was going to be out. Either out or have to sell the team, either one. I go to Reggie Howell. Go ahead, Reggie.
Hey, gentlemen, good afternoon. First of all, Ronald, I want to get your thoughts for LeBron James' statement at the Washington Wizards when he had on one black sneaker, one white sneaker, and he was playing to the that I'm here, not only trying to make a message, send a message to the current climate in the White House. But I don't know if you know this, George Zimmerman made a hit on Jay-Z, telling him that the documentary coming up about the Trayvon Martin murder, and that's what it was, in my opinion, the murder, that he wants to beat Jay-Z up and feed his body to the alligators. Now, I think it's very interesting. If you and I had made that comment, I would think the feds be knocking at my door right now saying, okay, Negro, get your black behind up. We want to bring you down for questioning. That's question number one, the follow-up, if I may, if you know anything about that story.
Yeah, I do know. I read something about the George Zimmerman thing, and let's be clear, that is a crime. When you threaten somebody, it's assault. Okay, let's be clear.
Thank you.
And it's really irritating. And like I said before, it is a change of eras all around, even with the racial thing. And Jerry Richardson, I'll get to that in a second about with the racial part. But with the George Zimmerman thing, it's. Sometimes people are so ridiculous because you can't get a job. It's like you almost want your name in the paper, somebody to talk about, because you're a pariah. No one even wants to stand within 10 feet of you, and you are forever known as a man that killed, and you're right, murdered Trayvon Martin for a bag of Skittles and a hoodie and some tea. So for him to say, and you know something, you can send this to George Zimmerman from Ronald Agers. Good luck. If you want to send, if you want to go at Jay-Z, go at Jay-Z. Why don't you go to his house?
Person. Yeah,
go
you
to
big
the house. Go to his, no, you know something. Go to his house. Go get him. Because
yeah,
it's easy
good
to
luck.
Say this on a computer. It's easy to say it on a computer. It's easy. Go to the man's face. Don't go for the head. Be bad. Now, this man just got some twins. His woman is fine. And the dude is worth millions of dollars. So I'm assuming
but
he got security.
But, Ronald,
good
you left fine. One thing out. This
What's
brother
that?
Is from the street. And street
yeah.
people know how to handle it. You don't forget your past when you've been in the street.
Exactly. And I think Benny Siegel's still on the payroll. And Memphis Bleek is still on the payroll. So
yeah.
Remember that song, Na 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 Na, from Bad Boy, from the Bad Boy soundtrack?
Yeah.
I'll get my man to shoot you. So let's eliminate George Zimmerman. We ain't going to give him no more power on that. As for LeBron James.
Right.
As for LeBron James. As for LeBron James. He is really being an ambassador to the NBA. Now I'm going to criticize him till the day till he
That's
gets right.
We can all be wrong about things. We'll continue.
Right,
we can all be wrong.
But like I said before, he is the top five most powerful NBA player of all time in the power of influence. Bill Russell, influence. Wilt Chamberlain, influence. Michael Jordan, influence. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, put them together, saving the NBA, influence. Right now, LeBron James, it's the influence in what he is doing. He is trying to invoke change. He's using his platform the right way. He speaks out against Donald Trump, and he is continuing to. And I hope he scored 60 when he did it.
No, he had a bad night.
But
no.
but regard, you know something? In my mind, just the message alone, he scored 60.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what he – this is what we're going to have to do. In other words, if we're going to invoke change, you're going to have to say, look, Donald Trump, you stink. What have you done but set this country back 50 to 60 years? Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what he is doing with his tax code. Now, if you think that 35% from businesses tax code from 35% to 21% being permanent, by the way, is going to bring people jobs, there is I-40. I can rent you I-40 in North Carolina for $50 a week. Just send it to my house, and there's no problem. I got you. You can use I-40 anytime you want to. If you think that this tax code is going to create jobs and help out the middle class, good luck with that.
But with LeBron James
calling BS and stuff like that, this is just the way it's going to happen. It's going to be for the next three years while this fool is in office. It is what it is.
Right, but Ronald, real quick, reason why I brought up Zimmerman, because Jefferson Beauregard Sessions already said he's going to get out the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, so issues like this won't even be looked at or touched. That's why I brought it up. And real quick, when it comes to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, I tell you, I wish they lose every darn game. We on some Christian station, LA, so I'm going to watch my language, but I wish they lose every game because they couldn't even get that right. I was hoping the Raiders beat them, so Garrett be fine. I'd be darn, they bring out a postcard for a first down. I said, I'd be damned. Just the WWE all over again. Give me a break. Hey, I'm done.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Because really, with this Richardson thing, because I'm an Oakland Raiders fan.
Yes, sir.
I get it. I get the card thing, but regardless of the fact, because I saw the last play, Dallas won because the Oakland Raiders stink. They're not a good team. Derek Carr made a dumb decision. Dumb clock management. They just don't play well. Jack Del Rio needs to be fired. That's it. Ken Norton has been fired. The defense is already upset over that. The worst thing that happened is they fired the offensive coordinator in the offseason, and the Raiders have never recovered. But to watch what Derek Carr did, holding the ball like a loaf of bread, trying to get it past the pylon, you got 30 seconds, just get out of bounds, run another play, give it to Marshawn Lynch, who you paid to bring in these situations, and then win the game. That's what you do. It had nothing to do with that index card, which was ridiculous, but the Raiders still should have won the game. They could have won the game. They just flushed it away down the toilet like they've done at least three or four other times this year. It's just sad. I mean, I didn't watch the game because I was covering this Richardson stuff. I had to do a show based on this Richardson thing. It wasn't about the Cowboys. The Raiders royally screwed this up. That's all.
Ronald, we're talking with Ronald Agers, of course, on the pad. And, you know, I want to go back to the NBA with the Melo return to New York. Were you surprised that the fans – the Knicks did the whole video thing for him and everything. So are you surprised that the fans have really embraced him, knowing that, you know, look, he didn't want to leave. We know that. But he was, as you said this, I think, last week, that after, you know, at the end, they were kind of forcing it, and he said, you know what, I'll just do this. He really wanted to retire as a as a Nick, but were you surprised that he got the positive response that he did?
No, not at all. If you put in the work, and the New York Knicks fans realize what you're going through and you're doing the best that you can, they're going to love you forever. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way. Bernard King, Patrick Ewing. Look, the Knicks have screwed stars over for as long as I can remember. I mean, who trades Patrick Ewing? The New York Knicks. I mean, they ran Oakley out of town. I mean, they ran Oakley out of the building last year, and he watching the game. Got 35 security people to kick him out and whatnot, and tried to ban him from the Madison Square Garden. Latrell Sprewell, look, they love it. They loved him. He was only there 2-3 years. He's an icon. And like I said, I've said on this show before, if Carmelo Anthony had just like said, "Listen here, I'm gonna internalize myself," like almost like Michael Jordan did, and found motivation, said, "I'm gonna drag this team to the New York Knicks to the playoffs just to spite Phil Jackson," he would have been an icon to the level of Willis Reed. Because that's how bad Phil Jackson ran that team. If he'd have just said, "Hey, you know something, I'm just going to do this to spite this dude," Phil Jackson would have looked 10 times worse than he does now. Right now, Carmelo Anthony, because he didn't score in the second half, he looked frustrated and he looked a little bit embarrassed.
But Ronald, how much of that is on Westbrook? Because Westbrook took about 25 shots, and I get that, you know. But I mean, and they all look tired from that great game, which I watched the whole Sixer game and that triple overtime. Oh my God! And Embiid literally tried to will his way, but they just fell short. But I mean, they look tired. But I thought that if you're coming home, and I don't remember what happened with what's the name going to Indiana? I know they booed him, but I don't know how many shots he got. But if you're going home and they're applauding you, they got a whole video, why not let him take more shots? It's his time to shine. And they lost the game on top of it, which I thought was very disheartening.
It really is shocking. Let me tell you something. First off, the Oklahoma City Thunder is Thunder team is bad. Okay, because you know something? You say, should some of the blame go to Westbrook? No. All 100% should go to Russell Westbrook. Why? Because he gets $205 million from Oklahoma City. So that means it's his team. So that means it's his responsibility. Number two, I say it over and over again. A point guard should not take 25 to 30 shots a game. You got to run the offense. And he is now, like we said last year, when is he going to get to the point that he's just chasing triple-doubles? See, now if he gets a triple-double, no matter how bad he shoots, no matter how bad he runs the team, he gets a pass. And it's getting to the point that he knows it, and he takes it personal. Now he's saying, it's upon me to get that, to will this team to win. Let me tell you something right now. I saw that Philly game too. Number one, Joel Embiid is a grown man. If he doesn't break his feet going up the steps to go to the arena and he stays healthy for the next 5 to 10 years, boy, Philly is going to be trouble. It's going to be Boston and Philly like the old days fighting to go to the finals. He is that good. He had a bad back. And I mean, he was lumbering down that court. And I mean, the fact that he was talking trash to Russell Westbrook, he was talking trash to Melo to the point Melo saying, "Man, you better not say that. Don't do that. Don't do that." He dogged that entire Oklahoma City Thunder team. The Sixers just ran out of gas. And to watch Russell Westbrook go wave to Joel Embiid, who is basically a rookie, going saying bye-bye, bye-bye, gone to the locker room, shows you the mental capacity of the MVP. Now, see, Jordan would talk trash, but he'd make one statement and keep it moving and let his stats show it. Here's how you stop the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just let Russell Westbrook do everything. You let Melo, you worry about Melo, you worry about Paul George, and then you just let Russell Westbrook run up and down the court and just do what he do, because he can't shoot free throws, he blows a lot of layups, and he is now pressing. Just let Russell Westbrook do everything, because eventually Melo's going to shut down, because it started to look that way in New York. It didn't look good. He did not look happy going off that floor, because he didn't score 1 point. He scored just as many points as you, me, and Reggie on this show in the second half. Zero. Mm. Just let Russell Westbrook do everything. Because he shoots all the time, he takes bad shots, and he passes the ball when he almost has to, and now he's chasing triple-doubles. So, yes, L.A., he deserves all the credit. Don't let him off the hook. All the credit for what the Thunder is doing right now. They make slow decisions. The ball is moved slow. And guess what? Now, forget the stat, that analytical stat stuff. When you're not scoring in the last 5 minutes of the game, which we know when the lights come on, all of those players are shooting less than 30%. So basically, they're just waiting for their turn to shoot the ball. Basketball is not about, oh, it's your turn to score. Oh, it's your turn to score. Oh, it's your turn to score. Melo, it's your night to play in New York. We're going to give you all the shots. Basketball's not done that way. You take right. what the defense does to gives you, and you work within the system of the offense. And let me tell you something else.
Yeah,
Billy Donovan should be on the hot seat. Billy Donovan should be on the hot seat because it's just a little bit too much talent. And you know something? Steven Adams, with all the talent that he has, because he can score down low and he works hard in the trenches, why doesn't he get any more shots than he do? He gets 7-8 shots a game, which is ridiculous. You're paying a man $100 million and he gets 8 shots and the man can score because of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and I was going to say, with Steven Adams with the concussion didn't help them in New York. And you're right, he is valued. And why have Raymond Felton as your backup and you guys aren't going to use him the way they need to use? Because I think Felton it brings something to the locker room, too. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. You know him. You've seen him there in Charlotte. So, I mean, you know he can play. Final question, because I got to go to my next guest. Three teams with long winning streaks in Houston, Cleveland, and Boston. Who's been the most impressive? And your thoughts with how the Rockets are playing? They're, you know, again, we know who the coach is, and we know what it may come down to. But right now, they're actually defending, and they're getting up and down the court. And that's what it's supposed to be. If you defend and you can get off on the break, then it's going to make your stats look good defensively anyway.
Yeah, but to answer your first question, it's the Houston Rockets because of number two. They defend. It's amazing. I mean, Boston, they've done a great job. With Gordon Hayward, they've overcome a lot, and Kyrie Irving's just doing what he do. Cleveland, I don't know if they're going to lose it. It's to the point now they're beating the East so bad, it's to the point that we don't even know if they're going to lose again. But that used to be the phrase. Man, look, yeah, Houston's winning, but Mike D'Antoni's coaching, so you know they're not defending anybody. Man, they're defending right now. And if you ever noticed something, they're undefeated with Chris Paul in the lineup. Chris Paul has brought a sense of toughness and some intangibles to that locker room that the Clippers miss badly. I remember talking to one of my friends years ago, and I mean, it was an argument. That saying, well, Chris Paul's not a great point guard. Dude, he's in the he came to the L.A. Clippers. Now they're winning. They didn't win nothing since Mark Jackson was a starting point guard. And that was back in the 90s, early 90s. He comes, shows up, now they're winning. Now that he's gone, the Clippers stink again. This is not a coincidence. The guy knows how to win, and they have figured it out. The Houston Rockets have done what the Oklahoma City Thunder, I thought the Oklahoma City Thunder would do. Chris Paul studied the team. He figured out where he could get in. He realized the concept that I got to shoot threes too. If I'm open, fire the ball up at the rim and try to defend. And he's put a toughness, and he's brought some intangibles that are just plain ridiculous. With the Houston Rockets defending, oh, my goodness, it's just amazing. I mean, right now, it's all about Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets until Kawhi Leonard gets into basketball shape with the San Antonio Spurs, bottom line. And with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's Boston and Cleveland Cavaliers in the East. That's just the way it is. And watching D. Wade just play is just a joy to watch. People got to understand something. Just because you average 25 a night doesn't mean you know how to play basketball. If you ever watch the Cleveland Cavaliers play, I know you're going to watch LeBron James, Kevin Love, and those guys. I get that. Watch Dwayne Wade and how he plays, because that's the essence of basketball, and he's the reason why that the Cleveland Cavaliers are on this win streak, because he has solidified that bench with Kyle Korver and those guys. And right now, they're unbeatable. They're the best team in the East, far and beyond, even over Boston.
Well, I have concerns about San Antonio, watching them about 5 or 6 times this year. They just – and I understand Kawhi's got to get in shape and everything. They just look – that age just – I mean, they just look old. They just look very common with the dynamics
But you've seen Ginobili over the last week.
Yeah,
I mean, two game
winners. Last game they had the other night with the game winning layup he had. He shows that. But you know, it's gonna be interesting. Houston plays like this, they're gonna give Golden State everything that they Golden State can handle in this. Ronald, we gotta run. I appreciate you, bro, as always, man. Thank you, and thanks for the insight on the Panthers, because I know a lot of people here wanted to know what was going on. I appreciate the insight, sir.
No problem. And as it unfolds, I'll continue to give you the information that you need.
Yeah, please send that to me and text, email, either. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. It's the past. Stay tuned.
Exceptional Service Career Training Institute is offering amazing healthcare training classes that can propel you into the career of your dreams. Upon completion of our classes, all students will take the fully accredited national certification exam through the National Healthcare Association at our facility. This credential will show your commitment to the industry, help you earn a higher wage, and help you be more employable. For your convenience, you are able to choose from morning, afternoon, evening, or online classes to fit your busy schedule. The healthcare programs we offer is medical assistant, pharmacy tech, phlebotomy, medication tech, and CPR classes. For more information on this great opportunity and class schedule, please call the office at 919-309-9065, business cell 919-225-0538, or visit our website at www.exceptionalservicehca.com.
Welcome back to the pad. We thank you for joining us. If you miss any part of the broadcast, please do go to our website, thebachelorpadnetwork.com, thebachelorpadnetwork.com. We have changes coming up in the new year, and hopefully very positive changes, and we just thank you for joining us. On the phones, patiently waiting, and I mean patiently waiting on the line, always good to have our resident chief of police on the line, of course, from Norman, Oklahoma. He's Keith Humphrey, and Chief, I appreciate you joining us. Happy holidays to you. And first, before we get to the serious stuff, I got to ask you about your Sooners. And you know, you have Mayfield as the Heisman Trophy winner there, but do they beat Georgia? Do you see in that game?
Absolutely. They're going to beat Georgia. You know, like I told you before, I like the Sooners. They're a really good tradition. But, you know, I'm a Texas fan. You know, saw what happened to my team. I really like this team, and I like the city. And, yeah, they're going to beat Georgia, hands down.
I mean, you got between Oklahoma and Texas, you got Billy Sims. And all. I mean, we go way back with some of the running backs and some of the quarterbacks there, Vince Young, at your Texas Longhorns. So it's a lot of tradition there. It should be interesting. Wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk about this holiday season. We've seen statistics showing that people tend to be desperate. God bless them. you know, wanting, in some cases, wanting to feed their families and take care of their families, and in some cases, doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing. I've seen it in my profession and walking and seeing people, you know, just kind of being desperate and doing illegal things to get money to take care of their family at this holiday season. No one wants to be alone. No one wants to do the wrong thing. But that does happen. We've even seen, from a joking standpoint, you know, movies at the holiday and people stealing and that kind of thing. So I wanted to bring you on to talk about some of the signs of what people, you know, the community, just average citizens, would look for when it comes to protecting themselves first, making sure that they protect their homes, making sure they protect their cars, making sure that they protect themselves from would-be people who want to take this opportunity at the holiday season with people spending a lot of money, having gifts and things, and taking advantage of that. So what are some of the things you would say to an average citizen to make sure that they protect themselves and their property and their families at this holiday season?
Well, thank you, and happy holidays to you and your family, too, and to the listeners. That's a good point. I think the first thing is don't ever believe that you can't be a victim. And I think a lot of people think when you talk about victim, they talk about violent crimes. They don't really think of property crimes being a crime, you know, a victim. You'd be a victim of a property crime. So I think the main thing is just be aware of what you're doing. You know, you drive through a neighborhood and you see all the festive lights and everything, and then you look around, there's someone who has their blinds open, and you look straight inside the house, there's a Christmas tree with all the gifts under the tree. Well, just like you and I go and we window shop at stores, at retail areas, you have people that actually go and they window shop in neighborhoods to see what they can find. You have people that actually drive around to see what boxes are being left at doors. You know, doors. They also look to see what people are unloading from their cars. In the retail areas, one thing I see is that if someone goes in a store and they buy something, they come out, they put it in the back seat of their car, and they go back into another store and shop. And these are all make you vulnerable to theft. And so the first thing is, get to know your neighbor, and to have your neighbor, you know, tell your neighbor when you're going to be out of town, and you know, if you can possibly have packages delivered to someone, you know, whether it's your job, whether it's a neighbor, if you could have someone at your house when you're expecting gifts. Also, if you've got a P.O. box, that works. You know, try to reduce those chances by not giving those individuals an opportunity to have a large area to don't make yourself a victim. The other thing is, don't leave your items in plain view. And I recommend to people that if you're going to go in shopping and you're going to come back out, put your items in the trunk, or why not make several trips back to the mall if possible? So you get a haul of gifts, you take those home, and then you go back. Anything that that can reduce your chances of being a victim. Know your surroundings. You know, we tell ladies, don't take your purses. Take your wallets or take your credit cards and your ID. Keep that in your pocket where you don't have to have your wallet. Look at your surroundings. Try to park in a lighted area. Try to keep your house well lit. If the lights are off on your street, call your electric provider so you can get those lights turned on. Just those little simple tips can help you reduce your chances of being the victim of a crime, especially theft during this time of the year.
Chief, do you find that you get more of reported crimes based on areas, based on race, increased, I should say, at the holidays? You know, you get people are trying to be more diligent, they're making sure some of them doing, like you said, putting the stuff in the trunk and making sure they watch out for their neighbors, and whether it's a cul-de-sac or just some kind of area there. Do you find statistically, at least maybe in Norman, that people will report more crimes in bad areas or areas of color or areas of urban areas because of the holiday?
No. I think here in Norman we've got a really good relationship with our community. So we're always getting individuals that are reporting crime no matter where it's occurring, whether it's occurring on, you know, it doesn't really matter what area. We've got a really good relationship in pushing out our community-oriented policing efforts. So we've seen our 911 calls increase based on reporting suspicious activity. I just think, you know, it's all about opportunity. It doesn't matter where you live. If the opportunity is there, you know, if I leave my garage door open and I'm in the backyard and I'm putting up Christmas lights and I've got gifts in the garage or I've got a lawnmower and you've got someone cruising the area, that's an opportunity for that person to go in and take those items when no one else is around. So I think it's all about opportunities. And when, like I've always said, just like you and I go to work every day, there are individuals out here, that's their job. Their job is to try to take things from people. You know, they don't want to pay for them. Why not take something that I don't have to pay for and I've got an advantage that I can go pawn it or I can sell it or I can give it to someone else or I can keep it. So it's all about opportunity, and that's what we find. I mean, retail areas are just notorious for this time of the year, just notorious for vehicle burglaries, you know, and then residential burglaries where people have their things in plain view. You know, and that's one of the things we also tell people at the day after Christmas, if you got a computer, if you got a big screen TV, don't put those boxes out in front of your house because you're advertising that you got those things. So what we ask people to do, get box cutters and cut that stuff up, or if you've got a recycling area, take them there, but don't leave it out in front of your house because you're just advertising for somebody to come inside your house and take what you just purchased.
Before I go to Reggie, when you look at situations, I've purchased some things for the holidays and bought bags in, and you think that you know your neighbors, but you don't know all your people. How do you get around that? Is that something that you get around that maybe even a neighbor, right, that you didn't think would be someone who would be casing, as you guys would say, casing your house, and then you know, you bringing in a 43-inch TV,
right,
and then they're watching. You know, and then next thing you know, they're kind of watching your time and when you leave and that kind of thing, and they turn out to be, again, in a desperate mode, and circumstances happen in life. We know that. So how much of that would play into it? What would you say to those who are in, they deem, quote, safe neighborhoods, yet they have to watch themselves? Because, again, at the holiday, you're going back and forth. You're bringing in bags of gifts and things, and you don't know who's actually watching.
Well, you don't know who's actually watching, and that's why you need to know your neighbors. And, you know, one of the things that we have to remember is that it may not be the neighbors, but it may be someone who's visiting those neighbors that pay attention to what you're doing. So it may not be – you may have been lifelong friends with your neighbors. I mean, you know, you could be ever since – they moved into the neighborhood and you moved into the neighborhood, your families do things together and you could be really good friends. Well, just say, for instance, L.A., they're having some work done on their home and contractors are there. And contractors notice something of interest at your house. People talk. And so, you know, just word of mouth or, you know, during the holidays, you have a lot of, especially if you live in a neighborhood that has a lot of, that's very festive, you know, the more vehicles that you have coming through your neighborhood, it does increase your chances of being the victim of a crime. You know, people thrive through neighborhoods, especially when you have new housing going in. You know, people drive through neighborhoods, you know, delivery people. People talk. You know, it's like me being a delivery driver, and you're my friend. And, man, I drove through this neighborhood today, man. There's million-dollar houses and Mercedes-Benz. And then next thing you know, the person you're talking to, they drive through the neighborhood, and they tell somebody. And then next thing you know, they told some people who could easily be casing out the location. So it's just you just never know. I wish I could say that you can trust everybody, but unfortunately you can't. You hope you can, and so, you know, it's one of those things. You just never know, you know, who you're talking to and who's looking at what you have.
And just before I go to Reggie real quick, just because I got an email. So to be clear, maybe not in Norman, but just because, you know, Chief, you know a lot of people. You know all these chiefs around the world. Does crime actually rise at the holiday season, more specifically Christmas?
It can. I think the property crimes do. One of the things we do is, you know, as chiefs, is we come up with plan of actions. You know, data from last year kind of helps us understand what initiatives we're going to do in the upcoming year. But it can, you know, it can. Because you just got to think about it. Think about a mall area. That's a large population of vehicles at any given time. And you have, you know, it's very, it's, you know, people are out there looking for things to break into, cars to break into, people to snatch their purses and things. But that's where, you know, increased patrol and other initiatives really help. You know, visibility helps. Any other initiatives, bike teams, foot patrol, working with the retailers and stuff like that, using their surveillance, the skywatch towers that you see, those things really help reduce that possibility of those possibility and sometimes probability of those offenses occurring.
Talk with Chief Humphrey. Of course, he is the Chief of Police in Norman, Oklahoma, on the pad, 646-929-0130, the number to get in touch with us. Press 1 to get on the line. If you have a question, you can hit us up on Facebook. Interesting comment I got from Facebook. I'm going to ask you, Chief, about that, because it can be your friend and your enemy. I'll get to that in a sec, but I want to go to my good friend and colleague, host of Sports Talk in Richmond, Virginia, Reggie Howell.
Chief, happy holidays to you, my friend. Hope all is well with you and your family.
You too, my brother.
I have to follow up with an ugly situation that really sickens me, but I think in this climate we have from Washington, and I'm saying this, I don't want you to say that because you're a public figure, and I don't want you to get in no trouble. But George Zimmerman, when you publicly say that you're going to kill an individual, that's a threat. Am I right, Chief?
Yeah, that could be considered a threat. The way that it works in a lot of states is that you have to make that threat directly to that person or that person to be offended. Now, if you say it and other people hear it, it does cause suspicion and it needs to be looked into. But, yeah, that's a threat, absolutely.
Now, George Zimmerman, I know people don't want to give this guy any airplay, but he said that not only does he want to attack Jay-Z, a public figure that we know of, but to feed us by the alligators. That's number one. When you have Jeff Sessions in the Justice Department, because we know historically it was the Justice Department back in the day that infiltrated the Klan and other neo-Nazi groups that were trying to not only bring this country down, but to go after people of color. Now, my question, and again, if you don't answer, I understand. But I really truly believe in this administration and this Justice Department where, and again, please, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but this
sure,
is me
sure.
saying that when you have the former Justice Department have a dissent decree in Maryland and also what happened in Missouri, and the current Jefferson Beauregard Session, because he had affinity with the Confederacy, that's why I named him that, he comes in and says, officers, don't worry about it. We're going to be lenient.